This podcast replay is brought to you by Caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop.
Ride. How you doing, my man? You doing all right?
Doing good, oh. How are you?
Excellent. Crypto bouncing back, waiting for the feds tomorrow. I'm in Mobile, Alabama. How about
Senior Bowl?
Yes, sir. It's Senior Bowl time. Where are you at, St. Augustine, or you're home? It looks like you're home.
I'm back home in Pembroke Pines. Yeah, I'm just working on a lot of different stories for The Athletic and got my head in a lot of different places. But hey, man, I enjoy when I can refocus and just talk with you, brother, to be honest. All right.
I appreciate it, bro. Thank you very much. My wife doesn't even say that. So that's very kind of you. All right. So let's get into it. What's the latest right now going on with any other coaching changes going on?
Well, we'll see if there's any more changes. I mean, I think right now the two main ones obviously are offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach. And then, you know, obviously they're going to switch it now to receivers coach. I think with their next hire, whoever comes in as coordinator will be quarterbacks coach. But look, I've checked. I don't have any new information as far as how much further along we are in the process of nailing somebody down. I think, you know, Mario has been looking into this obviously for a while. And I'm not sure that the guys that he really has at the top of his list have come available to him or have said to him they're interested. And I think he's just holding out, hoping to get somebody that he really wants for this job. I think he's looked at a lot of different names and he's looked at a lot of different people, but, you know, obviously it's an important hire. And I think whoever the next offensive coordinator is in Miami probably gets a chance to pick who the receivers coach is, or at least have some serious input with it.
Is it a free agent? Or is he trying to possibly take somebody from an established program already that is under contract?
Yeah, I mean, I think that those are definitely possibilities. Oh, I mean, I think you know, when you look at what happened last year and the guys that he interviewed and really had at the top of his list, they were all with other programs, they were all with other teams, they weren't necessarily free agents. So I think had it been a free agent, this probably would have been resolved a long time ago.
That's what I mean. Exactly.
Yeah. I think this is more about, you know, maybe that other guy finishing a contract, maybe that other guy deciding this is where he really wants to go. You know, I know, so Miami.
Walk us through that, because I'm a little ignorant in that sense. Yeah. Because obviously in the NFL, you would have to give up compensation or something like that. Yeah. And they have you. So what happens in college football if some guy wants to leave, whatever, Tulane? And, mm-hmm. you know, he had a great offense there, and Mario loves his offense and loves his, you know, his mind and all that. But this guy's under contract. He's got two more years left. How does the University of Miami steal a coach like that, and how does a coach get out of a contract like that?
Well, it's all based on the written language in each of those individual contracts. You know, usually the way a lot of contracts are written, you know, schools that end up hiring that coach away from another program have to sort of pay whatever it is that he owes them, right? Whatever is left in that contract. So they'll cover those expenses, and then the coach will come over. Sometimes contractually, the coach just wants
Mario's flying around in a helicopter. There's no more budgets anymore, bro.
Well, no.
Budget? What's budget? I heard Mario burns $100 bills when he walks out of the helicopter, just lights him up and shows people.
Hey, Miami is still being run by a lot of people who are very budget conscious, even if they are investing it in football. They're still run by the same people who for a long time were penny pinching. I think
they're not penny pinching anymore, bro. They ain't I know UM football used to be the dollar store.
Right.
But, you know, now it's like Saks Fifth Avenue now, bro. I mean, you know.
Oh, there's no question the philosophy has changed. But my whole point is it's still the same mentality, right? Like, hey, if we could wait till whatever date to save X amount of money, that's what we'll do. They're not going to be run by a bunch of wild men just throwing money all over the place. I think there's responsibility, fiscal responsibility and all that. And so, look, honestly, does Mario really have his mind made up? From my understanding, the answer is no. I don't think he really does. I think there's probably several options that he's looking at to fill that position? Is there a pecking order? Is there a list, right? I want this guy first. I want this guy second. I want this guy third. Yeah, I think every head coach does that.
And it doesn't benefit him one bit to allow any of those names to get out. And that's why a dude like you can't even – maybe you do know something, but you can't say it, even if you did know, because that doesn't benefit him. If he's trying to take a coach from an active program right now and the guy's working, the last thing they need to do is hear reports about him going there to take that person. That would be insult to injury on top of everything. So there's a lot of dynamics in play right here, right?
Yeah, of course. And again, I think, you know, you look at Mario's process last year, and Bruce Feldman and I wrote about it in an extensive story for The Athletic last year after he made the first couple hires. Like he went through a long process of talking to people. And then he also, you know, in the end, Gattis really wasn't his first choice. I don't even know if he was number two or three. It was sort of like it just went through this pecking order of waiting and waiting and waiting. And certain, you know, it worked out in the end. They ended up getting the Broyles Award winner, who they felt really good about. Obviously things didn't work out on the field, but to them it was a great hire, right? It was getting the Broyles Award winner from a team that had just made the playoffs. So from that perspective, they felt like it was the right approach. So I think in this approach, you know, again, spring football doesn't start until March 4th. You've got plenty of time, in my mind, to bring that coordinator in, have him sit in a few meetings before you take the football field. So, I mean, this could probably push into mid-February if they wanted to be more patient and bide more time to make the right choice. In the end, I think it'll happen in the next week or two, but I just don't know how far along in the process they really are.
All right, yeah, and that's – well, I hope he gets his first choice, because if he – settled for his second or third, that didn't work out too well the first go around. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully.
Well, I mean, sometimes coaches, you know, they'll tell you, they'll go through the process, and then they'll decide at the last minute, nope, I'm staying where I'm at. Nope, I got the money I wanted where I'm at. They're meeting that financial need here. I got my raise here. Why do I need to go there? And you know, the one thing I'll tell Miami fans, who, you know, we always look through it orange and green glasses, right? This isn't exactly a sexy job. You're taking it's a lot of pressure. Yes, you have Tyler Van Dyke. He's banged up coming off a shoulder injury, and you don't have a number one receiver, and you don't have you know, an experienced offensive line. You're gonna be playing some freshmen in this group, some true freshmen. Yes, Mario's a great recruiter. He's also extremely freaking demanding. So you know, all of those reasons, you say to yourself, well, why is this taking so long? Well, the other guy has to want to be, you know, want in as well. And I know they're all mercenaries and this and that, but if you make the wrong move in today's game, like Josh Gattis apparently did, that can affect you. That can affect you. Even if you win the Broyles Award, you have one bad year at a place like Miami. Who knows what your future holds? So I think this is a two-way street in terms of not only just who does Mario want, but who really actually wants the job.
Well, give me some names. Give me a name or two or three here. I know you wrote about it, so.
Yeah, I mean.
Coley, and who else?
Well, James Coley, I think, is the most obvious because of the situation he has at Texas A&M, where, you know, they've brought in Bobby Petrino to be the offensive coordinator, and at some point he could always say, hey, I'd want to bring my own guy in, get rid of Coley. Coley's been with Jimbo, obviously, for a long, long time. And so to me, it makes sense just from that perspective. You know, one name that surfaced in some conversations I had the other day, Joe Moorhead, who I think is a head coach now at Akron. You know, last year, Mario tried to get Jason Candle, who's the head coach at Toledo, to leave a head coaching job to come be coordinator. I think, you know, Moorhead.
Like I said, there is no budget anymore. Understand.
Right.
But I'm a head coach. Yeah, but I got a lot of money for you to be the OC. Come on over.
It's all built on relationships and whether or not they can use that. Like Moorhead, you know, who was with Mario at Oregon, you know, he's a guy who I think if you told him, hey, come get the Alabama job, he'd probably go and do that. Now, Miami, it's a different – again, that's where I talk about. How good of a job really is it? Where is it going to springboard you? And I think there's a little bit of apprehension, you know, with some guys.
Oh, that's not fair. I think – this has always been a place that springboarded people.
Well, when they're great head coaches, not when they're 5-7.
No, I know. I, well, okay, but Okay, I guess I have faith that Mario will turn this thing around, dude.
Well, I do too. I think eventually he's going to get there, but where is he along in the process? Like,
oh, he's far behind right now.
That's the thing. That's what I'm trying to express to you is that, you know, when right. guys look at this job, you have to look at it. Well, where is it right now? Right? Where is it going to be after 2023? And does that get me to where I want to go in 2024? And so I think, you know, you have to remember all of these guys are looking for the best scenario for their careers to help push them in a better direction. I think Josh Gattis took this job last year with the intention of being a head coach by 2024. What happened to him? He had a terrible year and lost his job. And now, you know, who knows where he ends up. But the point is like this can be a scenario where if you don't have a good year in 2023, you could set yourself back. And so that's what I'm trying to make, you know, our listeners conscious of the fact that this isn't an extremely sexy job right now.
No, you're right. That makes all the sense in the world that it's not a sexy job at the moment because you still have a lot to build with this team. So yeah, that is true. All right. I always ask you about the recruiting front every time you're on because I never know what the hell's involved here. And he's always trying to fish for new guys on the portal and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, Dennis Smith, who's Miami's recruiting coordinator, working close hand in hand with Mario Cristobal, tweeted out a picture of a mountain this weekend, and so everybody immediately, I got a bunch of text messages with this tweet saying, "What the hell does he mean?" And my guess is Miami's probably adding another recruit tomorrow. I know that they hosted a defensive tackle from the Chicago area this past weekend, a 3-star. He's not Leonard Taylor or Vince Wilfork or anything of that nature, but he's a guy that they like, a guy that they brought in that's a Division I FBS player. And again, that's a position of need. A cornerback, defensive tackle, wide receiver. Those are areas that, again, through the transfer portal or through recruiting, I think Miami could add a piece here and there in the weeks and months ahead. And so tomorrow we may end up getting that announcement from the defensive tackle.
All right. I like it. All right. What else are you working on?
Well, we're preparing for tomorrow's roundtable. I'm working on a Jaden Rashada story. I'm doing an ACC roundtable, an SEC roundtable, a Big Ten roundtable where we talk a bunch of recruiting and I give my analysis and thoughts on all of that. So a lot of signing day, you know, sort of wrap up coverage heading into spring football, you know, from a conference perspective. I know all of us down here so focused on the Hurricanes, we don't really pay a lot of attention to everybody else, but it's important what goes on in the ACC. And you know, I think Miami, this is one of the stats I threw into the ACC roundtable, but 12 of the top 21 players signed by ACC schools this year are headed to Miami, and that's a big feather in Mario's cap. You talk about winning at the recruiting, you know, that's something
Clemson. It'll be fine, bro.
I mean, eventually the players are going to become what they need to become. But that's a change where Clemson and Florida State for a long time had been, you know, sort of in that perch where they were signing the most, you know, the top recruits in the conference. So 12 out of 21 is pretty good number for Mario. I think 6 others ended up going to Clemson and 3 to Florida State. So you break it down, that's, you know, you're beating your rivals significantly in that respect in terms of the top players coming into the conference. So
I just feel we got to compartmentalize things because I get it. Last year was horrible. One of the worst year I've ever seen for the Canes. And unfortunately, Mario owns it. But one of the reasons why I'm so confident with Mario is that eventually he knows that the way you win is in the line of scrimmage, O-line and D-line. And that's what I see is developing, that he's going to find a way to beef up those two lines. And if you do that and you control it, you're going to have an opportunity to compete with anybody. And if you ever want to get to the point where you want to compete with Georgia and Alabama and Ohio State and now Florida State's getting there and all that, brother, you better dominate the lines. That's the only way. And then that will make life easier on everybody else on the perimeter. I don't care if it's your linebackers, your corners, or your quarterbacks, or receivers, or running backs. Their lives are a lot easier when those big boys up front are dominating. And that's what I'm seeing in the recruiting, that's what's changing. The size of these individuals, the stars next to them, all that kind of stuff. I think that's a real positive. Does he have to convince me on the offensive side? He's already having kind of offensive issues. This is the one knock on him that you know, that is legit, that, okay, are you going to have the kind of offense you need in order to succeed here? And what I mean is, you can't go just dominating on the run game. You're going to have to get some chunk plays along the way. So hopefully they have that kind of passing game too.
Yeah, they really need that. If you look at Florida State's success this past season, they were something like a ridiculous plus 45 in the explosive play category compared to how much they gave up. It was one of the best in the country.
Look at your quarterback. That's what it is.
You had a kid in Jordan Travis who's an excellent college quarterback, the kind of guy that can lead you to a lot of wins and make a lot of plays. And that's why Florida State, so many people are very high on them. I don't know if Florida State's a playoff team. I think some people in the national media think they could be. I don't know that they're there yet with Coach Norvell. But
slim shot, but, man, they look good. I
definitely think they're a top 15 program this year, a team that probably wins 10 or 11 games and is right there. So, but still, well, I mean.
Quarterback will be up for the Heisman. That he will be.
Well, he probably will be if Florida State beats LSU in week one and beats Clemson in week four. I mean, they've got two major challenges the first month of the season, but they get past those.
If they get past Clemson too, I think you got to put that kid in the Heisman talk. But the way he played last year, the improvement he's made, and we talked about it on the gridiron several times, you got to give him a lot of credit that kid has gotten better and better every year.
Just kind of like De'Aaron King. He's very similar in that regard. I think great college quarterback, a guy who can make plays with his legs and is a good leader.
Yeah.
All of those intangibles, that's what they've got there. So, but again, as far as Miami's concerned, get that big-time wide receiver. I think that's still a big need here before the season. And see if you can get a little bit more depth at corner and D tackle. If they do those things, then I think they're in better shape than they are right now. I still think they're probably a 7-win team next year.
All right. Yeah, that's need to get more than that, but I understand because we're still in transition. All right, follow him on Twitter at Manny_Navarro. Catch his work there at The Athletic. Better yet, subscribe like I and many others do. And, of course, go to Caneswear. They got anything and everything with the Canes logo. You can buy Dolphin gear, Marlins gear, Panthers gear, Inter Miami gear, Heat gear. They got all kinds of killer hats, different colors. And not normally your team colors. They kind of switch it up, those kind of caps. They've got a lot of those. And I showed you that Dolphin cap that I just recently got on. That Dolphin cap is absolutely awesome. They got these new Canes hats that are just fantastic. William Quigley, the owner of Cutter's Edge, he bought one the other day there at Caneswear when he was there with me. So go to Caneswear, 2511 South University Drive in Davie. And if you order over $99, you will get free shipping anywhere in the country. Manny, as always, thank you, my brother. We'll catch up on Friday.
All right. Oh, take care, brother.
Thank you. There you go. The great Manny Navarro and our Caneswear Miami Hurricanes report.
If you're a Miami sports fan, then there's only one store to go to, and that's Caneswear at Miami Fanwear in Davie. They're your one-stop shop for all your inner Miami CF, Canes, Dolphins, Panthers, and Marlins merchandise. They have hats, t-shirts, game day jerseys, and so much more. Located at 2511 South University Drive in Davie, and open 24/7 online at caneswear.com or innermiamiwear.com. Call them at 954-835-5597. Caneswear, the spot where inner Miami and all Miami sports fans shop.
All right, all right, all right. Thank you all out there. Cutter's Edge Pro. We love talking about Cutter's Edge Pro. William, Mike, they do great, great work, man. Let me tell you, our home is completely different. I hang out more. I've hung out more in my backyard in the last month than I did in the last 15 years. Okay? I mean, that's how ridiculous it is. We had no life in our backyard. It's funny because you pay mortgage for the entire property, and then you got a backyard you're not even using. But if you create an oasis, then all of a sudden you're going to find yourself hanging out in the backyard. The dogs are running around all over the place with the artificial turf. They can't make a mess. They don't bring anything in the house. Even you, when you're walking around your backyard and then you walk in, you know how you got to know, you got to clean your feet and all that. Nah, you don't have to worry with artificial grass, baby. It's a beautiful thing. And then, of course, the quality of the work, the quality of the trees that you're going to get. Cutter's Edge Pro takes it to the next level. That's why your home, your business will go next level. And remember, when you do add landscaping, you also add value to the home. So immediately the value shoots up. Tree trimming, and removals, folks. We don't want you doing it. It's dangerous sometimes. Sometimes it's way up by the roof. It's by power lines, all that. Leave it to the pros. CuttersEdgePro.com. Go to the Instagram page at Cutters Edge Pro so you can see a lot of the stuff that they've done. Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. You might even see my house there. The one that has a putting green, that's my house there. And they did phenomenal work, folks. That's why they are your total landscape solution. They do lawns, landscape maintenance for medium to large HOAs, condominiums, corporate parks, and large commercial building complexes in Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. The synthetic turf is awesome, easy to maintain. You're not watering, you're not cutting the grass all the time, so you're going to save thousands in the long run. That's what's going to happen. Call William or Mike. Get it done. They will take care of you. 954-472-0622. That's 954-472-0622 for Cutters Edge Pro. All right. Yes. Okay. When sports and business collide, folks, we like doing something called the KSDT CPA Sports Business Report. An amazing story, an amazing man, a guy that has made an incredible impact in sports culture, in sports business. The swag is just endless and will be endless till the last day he's on earth. And I'm talking about Michael freaking Jordan. Everyone wants to be like Mike, and nobody can be like Mike. Nobody has his kind of career. Nobody has his kind of business acumen. And nobody has his kind of shoe. Okay? And he, by the way, the Jordan brand in 2022 produced $5.1 billion for Nike. He gets 5% of that, which is $256 million. Just from Nike. He's been with Nike since 1984. And by the way, he has a net worth right now of $1.7 billion, according to Forbes. Jordan's brand produced $4.8 billion in 2021, okay, up 31% from the $3.6 billion in 2020. Now it's at $5.1 billion. MJ, by the way, made $90 million his entire career for his salary. Okay, they didn't skyrocket to the point that they are now. And the last 5 years, the Jordan brand has produced $19.4 billion. And he gets 5% of that. Damn. Damn. It's a lot of money. I mean, you know, when they first came out and Jordan came out, you know, Jordan was awesome. But even watching Jordan at that moment, you still couldn't figure that he was going to grow into the icon that he, you know, developed into, where he's like what everyone compares him to. You're Kobe, you're LeBron, you're Wade, you're Steph Curry, doesn't matter. You're going to be, oh, okay, well, Michael won six and won all six MVPs and played 82 games all the time. And he's like the gold standard of everything. Okay? He's the guy that instead of, you know, you whining and bitching that you were out till one or two and then the next day you can't do your job, well, here's the guy that's out till one or two and then the next day is going to kick your ass, not just do his job. He's going to kick your ass. Nobody saw this coming, man, that this guy would be this iconic in his business venture with that shoe and obviously on the court. Congratulations to the GOAT, dude. Damn, $256 million just from Nike. That's not to say all the other sponsorships, what he makes as the Hornets owner, my Lord. That man is bringing in well over $300 million, close to $400 million probably. That, my friends, Dade Broward of Palm Beach Counties, soon in North Carolina. That's your KSDT CPA Sports Business Report.
This has been the KSDT Sports Business Report. KSDT CPA is one of South Florida's largest and one of the country's fastest growing accounting firms. KSDT is recognized by Forbes as one of the top tax and accounting firms for 2022. KSDT CPA is a full service firm that also excels in crypto. Visit online at KSDTCPA.com or call 305-670-3370.
By the way, I thought this was kind of funny. I don't know if you guys caught this. I'm sure you did. You heard about it, watched it on television or social media or whatever. The Empire State Building over the weekend was green for the Eagles. I thought that was like, are you kidding me? Was Stephen Ross in charge of the building? Is that Stephen Ross's building, the Empire State Building? I'm just wondering. I don't know. Do me a favor, Sean, because I wouldn't even be surprised. He owns enough buildings. Did he ever buy the Empire State Building? I'm not sure, but did he? Because that's a Stephen Ross move if I've ever seen it. Let's celebrate the Gators, even though the University of Miami plays here. Didn't they sell Jets shirts once in the thing? In their fan wear thing, right in the stadium for a game or something like that, or some crap. Was it a Tebow shirt or something? I mean, seriously, like some of the shit that, you know, Ross has done, that's what that reminded me of. Not that I care about New York or anything like that, but I just found it hilarious that you're in a city with the Giants that's in the same division, and you're congratulating and celebrating the Eagles? What the hell is wrong with you? I mean, that was bad. Whoever did that, boy, they dropped the ball there, man. That's disrespectful, dude. You're in New York. You should only represent the New York teams. True Finn fan, thank you for the love and the super chat. Best sports icon ever, Jordan or Ali? Wow. That's a great one. I'm going to go Ali. Because Ali is a guy that fought for more than just sports. And so I think he meant more to Americans, period. You know, Jordan's been a guy that has stayed away from controversies and politics and stuff like that, whereas Ali did not give a crap. And, you know, he fought it like he should have. Jordan's been kind of a wuss in that sense because all he cares about is his bottom line, so he's worried about who he pisses off. Kind of like when I slam Dems or Republicans, I don't care if you're pissed off. It doesn't bother me. I'm not going to lose sleep because some Dem or some Republican is pissed because I crap on both groups. So, but I got to go Ali all the way because he did more things and put his career on the line for the better of man. And I think that is important. True Finn fan again with a super chat says, I'm going Ali as well in the ring and out. Yeah. So. Jordan is a great athlete. That's the difference there. All right, let me see. Remember, you can make a donation through Cash App or Venmo, and that's Cash Big O Show. That is Cash Big O Show on Cash App or Venmo. All right, we are out of here. We will see you all tomorrow. I am off. I got to go to practice. And so, as I told you, this will be a different kind of show this week. We will be a little earlier. We are doing, we did 3.5 hours today. So there's a lot of content there. Sean will, he'll slice up the show and you'll get all kinds of segments and the interviews and everything else. Yeah, I saw that with Bobby Hall and Cindy Williams, Brett. Sad with Bobby Hall. I mean, he lived into his 80s. And Cindy Williams, Laverne and Shirley, she passed away at the age of 75, actually. Apparently, she had an illness and passed away. It's a shame. Two absolute icons in their respective professions. So, yes, I'm with you. Rest in peace, Bobby Hall, and rest in peace, Cindy Williams. Thank you for the laugh, Cindy, because that's one thing that Laverne and Shirley brought. Very, very Lucille Ball-esque. A lot of physical comedy. And I thought that was actually really cool. That's one of the things that Laverne and Shirley was fantastic in. Their physical comedy was absolutely awesome. That's right, Dougie Fresh. Send me the DM soon. Pick a bar in Pensacola. I am going to a bar in Pensacola. So, and it's going to be all Dougie Fresh is going to pick the bar. Crossing my fingers. All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Same time, same place, same bat channel. Thanks to Sean Stanley. Appreciate all of you out there. Be good.